present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Denise Coffey in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists, they will try and speak for just a minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the other three think they are guilty of doing this, they may press their buzzer, and if I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point and also take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, then whoever is speaking will keep the subject and continue, and of course gain a point in the process. That's the way we score, and let us begin this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, a subject that Ian Messiter has thought up, which I'm sure is going to give me great difficulty, but let's hope everybody else a lot of fun, polystyrene. Can you start the program by talking for 60 seconds on polystyrene, starting now?
Once upon a time, in northern Ceylon, there lived an emigre family from one of the smaller Balkan states called Styrene. There was a mother, a father, son, and the daughter whose name was Kinga. But unlike the rest of the people, who were tea planters, she was very enthusiastic.
Clement Freud, you challenge, why?
Hesitation.
Yes, he was getting so carried away with an impossible story, he stumbled. And I agree with the challenge, so Clement Freud gains a point. He takes over the subject, polystyrene, and there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
As the sun rose late over Colombo, polystyrene went back to the plantation where her father had...
Derek Nimmo, you challenge, why?
He was dead.
I thought I might have some difficulty, but not this sort of difficulty. So Derek says he was dead, and Clement says he's alive.
You're
and
sure?
The only people who can judge whether polystyrene's father was dead or alive is the audience, because it's either Derek's world or Clement's. Do you think, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, that polystyrene's father is dead? And if you do, would you please cheer?
Who was planting the tea if he's dead?
Brothers, even sisters. Will you cheer if you think he's dead, and will you boo if you think he's alive? Starting now. A complete draw. So, no points scored. Clement Freud keeps the subject, and there are 35 seconds left for polystyrene, starting now.
This is actually a material for which the chemical formula is H22C11O5.
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
It's not H22.
You're absolutely right, and you gain a point, and you take over the subject of polystyrene with 26 seconds left, starting now.
It's derived from a Greek word, of course, meaning many, and it really means a lot of little styrenes. And it's a fabric which is used because of its wonderful properties for keeping out the damp and retaining the heat, and you can stick it on walls and on ceilings, and it's terribly nice for tea planters to live in when they come back from hot climates. And therefore, it's awfully interesting, you know, when you read a manual of British workmanship, you always find polystyrene mentioned at least 7 times, which is repetitious.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes, which tells us, by the way, that 60 seconds is up, gains an extra point. In this occasion, it was Derek Nimmo, and I think it was very well deserved, because he kept going on something he knew nothing about. Terribly well. So Derek, at the end of that round, has 2 points, and Clement Freud has one, and the others have yet to score. Denise Coffey, will you begin the next round? The subject is My Nighty. I paused because I suddenly thought, as I said, it sounded a bit funny. But anyway, will you talk about My Nighty? Seconds, starting now.
I don't know what Nicholas Parsons' nightie looks like, so I can't really discuss it at any great length. I will, however, tell those ladies and gentlemen of the audience who think that I am wearing my nightie at this moment that they are quite wrong. I heard you.
Derek, we have a new challenge.
Repetition of I heard.
A very, very rapid challenge there, and I agree with it, so you gain a point, Derek, and you take over the subject of my nightie. 46 seconds left, starting now.
My nightie is an absolutely beautiful princess line maxi made out of the finest gossamer woven in silk by Lady Hartdyke's little bohems on a little mill down somewhere.
To Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Repetition.
Of what?
Little Worm, Little Mill.
That's true.
That's right, yes. There were two littles. That's very sharp. And Derek, Clement Freud, I agree with your challenge. You gain a point, therefore. And you have 32 seconds left for my 90, starting now.
I inherited my 90 from my grandfather, who always wore them. And when he died, my grandmother said, "Would you like these?" There was a war on at the time. And I said, "Yes, very much indeed." And while many of you were not yet born, or perhaps still on national milk, I was out there fighting for you in my 90. This was of considerable embarrassment to my platoon sergeant. Because at the time, all the other soldiers were manifesting other ways of...
Well, as Clement Freud was speaking then when the whistle went, he gains the extra point, and another well-deserved point, because I do think his 90 was most fascinating. And I didn't realize that it's entirely due to his 90 that so many of us are here today in this hall, saved from the wrath of Hitler's Nazism. Right. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? Oh, by the way, at the end of that round, Clement Freud has a lead of one over everybody else, which is actually Derek Nimmer, because the other two have yet to score. Clement, will you begin the next round for us? Strange noises. Actually, it's been misspelt. It's Stranagi noises. Is that right? Is it strange? Thank you very much, Ian Messiter. Strange noises, Clement Freud. 60 seconds, starting now.
One of the strangest noises I ever heard was the falling of eyelashes on a parquet floor.
Well, anyway, he did hesitate. I quite agree with the challenge. What did you say, Clement?
Homerton.
Homerton, I'm so sorry. I'm
sorry.
Yes, Homerton is, yes.
But I mean, ignorance of geography is no...
Well, your lack of diction is no excuse to insult the chairman, either. There are 45 seconds left for you, Derek Nimmo, having gained another point and the subject, to talk on strange noises starting now.
The strangest noise I ever heard was the tweaking of a common tern that was standing on the top of Nelson's monument in Trafalgar Square. All the pigeons were so surprised to see this nautical bird there. They all took flight and flew around with a great whoo! And it was very odd, because at that moment, rifle fire broke out at the other side of the palace. And a cracker. No idea what was going to happen.
No.
I'm very relieved.
And Derek Nimmer's no idea either.
I have no idea.
Kenneth, you have challenged.
Well, it's a test.
It's a test, I quite agree, but I have to hear it.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. Kenneth, and also it's nice to hear your voice. Mm. Kenneth, you gain a point, and you take over the subject of strange noises, and there are 16 seconds left, starting now.
I heard some extremely strange noises when I was in Dieter Lauer in Ceylon, and I remember thinking at the time, these must be bullfrogs I can hear. And I was so afraid, I took out a fag. And I was on sentry duty.
Well done, Kenneth. You get 2 points now, because you were speaking when the whistle went, and it is your turn to begin the next round. The subject is aestheticism. I'll say it again to make sure. Aestheticism. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I presume this pertains to the aesthete, someone who has a superior appreciation of beauty and elegance. My aesthetic sensibilities are always appalled and confounded by the environment in which I find myself today, flat-top buildings with no aspirational quality whatsoever, no sense of reaching out, awful hoardings with their screaming commercial exhortations. Buy this, purchase the other. What a load of old rubbish. And that lovely nun's choir in Grace and Helen's ruined all the panelling, gone now. One wonders where we are heading. Is it up to the gates of heaven in a formless din? Crying, we are the lost ones, we are the betrayed ones. Think, for they must do something to let us in. Or are we to sink into this quagmire whereby we judge nothing of beauty, nothing of real significance, a life totally dominated by sin?
Goodness me, there were the rifle shots that were coming from the palace. Kenneth Williams, a well-deserved round of applause. A marvellous little diatribe on...
Are you going to tell me I've leapt into the lead?
You have?
Oh, hooray! Oh, hooray!
You not only got a point for speaking when the whistle went, but you get that extra bonus point for keeping going for 60 seconds without being interrupted, the first time it's happened for quite a number of shows. And you have leapt into the lead alongside Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo. There we are. So the three boys are out there in front, neck and neck, and now we carry on. Right. Derek, will you begin the next round? Weddings I have been to. That's the subject, and can you talk about them for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, the very first wedding I went to was when I was 4 years old, and I went to the marriage of my uncle, Ronald Kershaw Sudbury Hardy, who married my auntie Marjorie, and I was a page boy, and I was in brown velvet trousers with a lovely cream silk trunk. And very pretty I looked, and I've got photographs to prove it. The most interesting wedding I went to, I think, was to my mother's, which was more recently, when she married again a dear fellow called Reginald Walker, and I gave her away.
Clement, why have you challenged?
Well, repetition and carelessness. For his mother to marry again is repetition, and to give her away, I think, is real.
It's a very nice try, but I don't think it's either repetitious. I mean, the fact that he's given his mother away, well, I'm sorry, that's just between him and his mother. They've got to sort that one out. I mean, you can't take...
Why did you get a bonus point for wit?
Well, I thought it was amusing, but not all that pretty. I
mean, it was about you, perhaps.
I love Jerry. I'm just going to give him a great complimentary pat on the back for trying very well and keeping us very well entertained. But means that Derek keeps the subject, and he has 36 seconds left. Weddings I've been to starting now.
And then Lucy Mackworth Young was spliced with Paul Myersberg. That was a very interesting one to go to, because everyone wore floral clothes. Big hats with bunches of dandelions on top and lovely dangly things round about there and all sorts of floral shoes and very pretty little...
Kenneth, is right with challenge.
We have florals, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. He's
yes, absolutely right.
So, Kenneth, your floral gets you a point and the subject, and there are 17 seconds left. Weddings I've been to starting now.
The only wedding I can ever recall going to was my Aunt Phyllis's wedding, and it took place in the parish of Barnsbury. I had the good fortune to have a word with the vicar, and he did give me some advice which I could never...
Well, as Kenneth was speaking then when the whistle went, he gets that extra point, and he now definitely has a lead, a commanding lead of one over everybody else. Right, Denise Coffey, will you begin the next round? Doing the splits. I don't know whether you can or not, but that's the subject that dear Messrs thought of you to talk about for 60 seconds starting now.
In my younger years, I was in variety, or vaudeville as it's known in the United States of America, and I was extremely athletic and was able to do all sorts of wonderful handstands. And I saw an advertisement one year when I happened not to be working anywhere, and it said, wanted young girl for doing the splits. Apply 15 High Street, Bunbury, Devon. So I thought, well, I can't really be worse off than I am. I was getting a bit old at the time. My splits weren't done as well as they had been in my youth. But I got on the train. I got off it quickly.
Derek Nimmo, why have you changed?
The deviation. She was in America at the time.
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
It was merely a description of the
word. I think she'd established that she had been in America, but she'd seen this advertisement. And anyway, even so, she could have flown back before she got on the train, but she just ignored
bother to tell us.
So Denise has another point and keeps the subject, and there are 24 seconds left for doing the splits starting now.
Discovering it was going to Edinburgh, I left it quickly and got on one that was going to Devon, where I arrived very late.
Clement, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
It's impossible to get on a train which you think is going to Devon when it goes to Edinburgh. A different station, different terminals. You know,
it's quite possible. It depends on the state of mind you're in at the moment.
Oh, come.
You could have had a repetition of Devon. But, she hasn't actually deviated from the subject.
Deviated from Devon. She's gone to Edinburgh.
I know, but she might have been in such... from the description of her ideas about the splits, it obviously seems that she was in such a devious and devastating state of mind that she could have done anything. And so she gets another point and keeps the subject, and there are 16 seconds left for doing the splits. Denise Coffey, starting now.
Apprehensive and distressed, I made my way to the address on the letter.
Oh, someone's pressed a buzzer, but no light has come on. Was that you, Derek?
Yes, for made my way, actually. Repetition made my way.
Oh. Yes, she did make her way, more than once, yes. So that
oh,
is...
I have, yes.
Yes, it's very difficult sometimes when you're stopped, you start again, you start the same phrase. So, Derek, you gain a point and the subject with 10 seconds left, doing the splits, starting now.
You don't need all this travelling at all, really. All you have to do is get hold of your left leg, shove it out to the east, get hold of your right leg, shove it out to the west, and down you go.
Denise Coffey, why do you challenge?
You actually pointed towards the north.
If my compass is right, he actually pointed towards the south. But doesn't matter, he still wasn't pointing east and west. So well done, Denise, you'll gain another point. And there are 4 seconds left for doing the splits, starting now.
I discovered to my horror it was a cafe in which I was supposed to put cream.
So, the splits has brought Denise Coffey back into the game with a bang, and she now is in second place alongside Clement Freud, who are both behind Derek Nemo and Kenneth Williams, who are still together in the lead. Kenneth, will you begin the next round? In fact, it's your turn to begin the next round. Things, well, dear, the subject that Ian thought of this week. Things worth writing on a wall. So can you tell us some of the things, Kenneth, that you think are worth writing on a wall?
Well, there are many people...
Starting! Oh. He's so keen. He's at it, obviously. Starting now.
There are many people to be...
Derek Nimmer, you challenge.
Repetition.
He hadn't started.
Derek, it was repetition, but he hadn't started. So perhaps the fairest thing is not to award any points. Oh, yes, he must award a point, because he had started. The other time was another thing. Yes, right, yes, you have another point, Kenneth. And you have 58 and a half seconds to continue on things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
The only things worth writing on a wall should be either instructions as to what it's there for, or leading to, or something...
Dear Clement Foy, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
Well, a wall can't lead to anything.
The
point of a wall is that it doesn't...
How do you mean...
How
do you mean about leading to...
Well, obviously, passages have walls and they lead somewhere.
And passages have walls?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a very...
It may interest you to know the Roman wall led all the way from Berwick, didn't it?
Yes.
From what else?
Carlisle, you wanted to know.
Oh, thank you.
That's... All right, in that sense, it did lead somewhere. You usually use it's true, isn't it? But, of course, one doesn't think of it leading in the
well,
sense of people
you put your hand along them and you'll find you'll be led somewhere. Of course you will.
I've never followed a wall.
No, you've never been in a dark room.
I felt my way along a wall.
Well, there you are.
A walk beside
a wall. Somewhere,
but I'm absolutely with you, Kenneth. So you have another point. You have made your point, and the audience obviously agree with it. And you have 47 seconds to continue on things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
The most worthwhile thing was, of course, written on the wall by Trajan, giving us that beautiful, elegant script which we all now recognize as Trajan.
Derek Nimmer, you challenged.
Trajan,
yes.
Ah, but it's hyphenated. Trajan Roman, I'm saying.
But you said it before, you see.
But I was hyphenated then.
Well, you've become unhyphenated from your subject, that's all. But you said Trajan twice. You can't get away with that.
That is right. I really do.
Derek Nimmer has a point. Takes over the subject. 34 seconds. Things worth writing on a wall. Derek, starting now.
Well, I always think exit's a very good thing to write on a wall, especially if there's a door underneath. And then entrance if there's another door further along. So that's repetition of door.
So, Denise Coffey, why don't you
try? Well, that's right out of my mouth.
Right, so Denise, you gain a point, and there are 26 seconds left. Things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
The only things worth writing on a wall are starring Denise Coffey in the new play by the same author whose name has been mentioned above.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Repetition of name.
Name?
The name of Denise Coffey and the author, the same name.
Oh, yes, that is perfectly correct. She did say that. Clement, you have a point, and you have the subject, and there are 17 seconds left.
What is the subject again? I'm sorry.
I'm just about to give it to you. I speak fast enough most of the time, but things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
O God of battle, steal my soldiers' hearts. Possess them not with fear. Take from them now their sense of reckoning of the opposing numbers.
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Repetition of all.
I'm not going to allow it, so... Clement continues with the subject. There are 9 seconds left. Things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
The rich arrived in pairs and also in Rolls Royces. They talked about...
Denise Coffey, why have you challenged?
Repetition of rich people who arrived in pairs.
He didn't say rich people twice. He only said it once.
No, arrived in pairs. I'm talking about the pairs of rich people. The rich arrived in pairs.
All right, Denise. A bonus point for cleverness, and Clement continues with the subject. 4 seconds left. Things worth writing on a wall, starting now.
Do not write upon this wall is probably less worth writing.
Well, as Clement Freud was speaking then, when the whistle went, he gets that extra bonus point, and I hope he feels now that things are equal in a case of justification for awards on decisions. And he's still trailing, 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, and 1 point behind him is Derek Nimmo, and a little behind is Denise Coffey. So, Denise Coffey, will you begin the next round for us? The subject is ghost hunting. Can you talk for 60 seconds on ghost hunting, starting now?
I think ghost hunting is cruel and barbaric, and it should be put a stop to immediately. As Oscar Wilde might have said, it's the incredible in pursuit of the invisible. And I think it's absolutely disgusting. I had a letter from a...
Derek Nimmo, why to a
tradition of disgust.
Did I say that before?
Mm. Yes, indeed you did. Derek, you get a point and the subject, and there are 48 seconds left for ghost hunting starting now.
A friend of mine was staying in a hotel in Burton. He'd been told by the landlord that there was a ghost in this particular hostelry. Going to his bedroom, he had no idea that this was the one in which it walked. It was the spirit of Oliver Cromwell. And the curious thing, when he actually saw it, and this he did do, was that it had a terrible smell as well, because apparently the aforementioned leader of the Commonwealth had halitosis. And it's very strange, this happened only some 3 weeks ago, and I'm very interested in the story. Another time I personally went ghost hunting was in a house called...
Clemenfoy, why have you challenged?
I have too many ghosts.
No, you can use ghost hunting, which is the subject on the card, more than once.
I'd like to give him a point.
I know, when you're in the lead... When you're in the lead, you're exceptionally generous.
No.
And when you're trailing a little, it's absolutely clawing tooth and nail. But there are 14 seconds left for you, Derek Nimmo, ghost hunting starting now.
And it's Crazy Hawk. It went into a room at the top of the house.
Kenneth Williams, your challenge.
Hesitation,
I agree. So, Kenneth, you get a point, and there are 11 seconds left for ghost hunting starting now.
Well, I knew one man that did go on such an expedition, and he said afterwards that there was the most eerie sensation as a dress seemed to swish past him and it smelled.
Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you that is the end of the show this week, because that's all we have time for. But I do have to give you the final score, and a very interesting result, because it was neck and neck right up to the end. And we have joint winners this week. Just to let you know that Denise Coffey and Derek Nimmo trail a little behind this week's joint winners, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. All the acrimony and frustration that we saw on that side of the... That side of the stage at the beginning of the show has now been put right because they are joint winners, and congratulations to them. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.